Greetings, investigators, to another haunting episode of The Cock Show. Hello.
I just realised that it's cock show, isn't it?
Yeah, the cock show. Call it Cthulhu, man. That's what all the hip
Corrosion of Conformity.
It. Yeah, that's it. Another great band. Hi, yeah. Guys. We are the D&D show. Hope everyone's all right. My name is Luke. I am normally your dungeon master. However, we're currently playing Call of Cthulhu, so I am called a keeper. Instead, I am your keeper. Tales of the Crypt Keeper. That's with me tonight, I am joined by Sean F. Lee.
Hello.
James Bly.
Hello there, sir.
Gavin Bourne.
Good evening.
And Emily Keneally.
I was going to try to like a good evening, but cool. I'm not going to do it.
Yes. So thank you for anybody who is on the live stream. There's a few people there. This is an impromptu kind of surprise stream, however. For you people in the podcast, this is going to be the third part of our bonus episodes for Call of Cthulhu. Lisa is currently still at home looking after people with her family with the coronavirus. But we do have James back today, which is fantastic. So hopefully next time we record, she's going to be back and we'll be back to D&D. So yeah, Emily stepped up to the plate again. Thank you very much on this really exhaustingly hot Friday evening. Yeah, it's only been a couple of days since we recorded and chatted last. I don't think we've got a whole lot to go through, really.
Not a lot to say to each other.
No, not really. I'm sure James has got loads.
Oh yeah. It's been so exciting. I went nowhere. I done nothing. Nothing happened, apart from really, obviously, not being able to play, which was devastating.
Yeah. Well, you were missed.
Now, better late than never.
This is it. Yes. What have I done in the past couple of days? Nothing, by looks all.
The Mushroom Exhibition's open at Somerset House. If everybody want to really come and see mushrooms.
Will that still be going in like 3 or 4 weeks' time when this goes live, when this gets released as a podcast?
Who knows?
Maybe.
I think it will be, yeah. But
Somerset House, Google it. Yeah. London.
Google it. If it's on in 3 weeks' time.
If you like mushrooms, if mushrooms are the kind of thing that gets you going... Go and check it out. Like, we don't get it. Gavin doesn't get paid anything for it, but you know,
it's really
good. He won't stop talking.
They'll sneak you in for a tenner.
Go and wash your hands at the hand wash stations that I installed in the courtyard this week.
Next time I'm there, I'll be like, oh, mate, Gavin installed this.
Yeah,
but no, the fountains are apparently going back on the 4th, which is like the big draw to Somerset House. Really impressive fountains there, yeah. So,
if you say so, I don't know.
Apparently so.
The building is impressive enough.
Oh, the building is impressive.
The building looks lovely, yeah. And it's the dungeons or whatever it's called underneath it.
The dead house.
Yeah, how cool is that place?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty
good. Cool.
The guy who made the exhibition must be a bit, you know, must be a bit crazy.
What, the Mushroom Exhibition?
Whoever came up with it. You know, I'm sure he's a fun guy.
I think you've used that one before.
I think he has.
I don't think it's the first time you've used it. Yeah, I think
it never gets old.
It never gets old.
Well, roll on next week. We might just come across some mushrooms in a forest. Well,
if I keep talking about mushroom exhibitions, maybe you can use it again. Yes.
Yours. Yeah. All right. Okay. Cool.
All right.
So. Yeah, fuck it, let's get going. I haven't got anything to talk about, and we're on late, and let's just do it. So, last time on Call of Cthulhu, the Haunting of Corbett House, or whatever this adventure is called. Our investigators were hired by Mr. Knott, a landlord who had recently come in possession of a house that he could not rent out or do anything with. Apparently it's haunted. There you go, that's basically the plot. What happened? What did you do? I don't remember. You did some investigating. So you went to a library. So Emily, playing Dorothy Bridge, went to a library and found out nothing at all. Let's have a look. Then Dick Casey, the private eye, he went to...
Hall of Records.
The Hall of Records. And you found out something interesting, didn't you? What did you find in the Hall of Records?
I found out in handout number two.
Handout number two, thanks.
No, I didn't. That's a lie.
It's a lie.
Handout number seven.
Handout number seven.
Because I can't remember.
So
I found out that Reverend Thomas, the pastor of Chapel of Contemplation and Church of Our Lord Grant of Secrets, he was the executor of Walter Corbett's will.
Yes.
Which is very fishy indeed.
It is a bit. And basically, there was no further record there. You spoke to some kind of clerk or something who told you that the serious crime files are held at the police station. And that if you wanted to know more, that's the place to go.
Yes.
Excellent. And then the Globe, was it the Globe?
The Globe, yes. It was.
So you went to the Boston Globe newspaper place, and that was where Dave Pisswinkle, the washed-up journalist, found a story in their morgue, their clippings file, an unpublished story from the Boston Globe circa 1902. A feature story in 1918, which was never published. It states that in 1880, a family of French immigrants moved into the house, but fled after a series of violent incidents left the parents dead and three children crippled. The house long stood vacant. In 1909, another family moved in and immediately fell prey to illness. In 1914, the eldest brother went mad and killed himself with a kitchen knife, and the heartbroken family moved out. In 1918, a third family, the Macarios, rented the house, but they left almost immediately after they all became ill at the same time.
Ooh.
That was that.
Charles.
And then Dorothy was smart, and she was like, you know what, let's go talk to these family, and they have been committed to the Roxbury Sanitarium.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that bit.
Yeah, so Dorothy, you spoke to Gabriella Macario, who told you that
at sometimes at night I'd wake to find it leaning over me, and when it was angry the thing might cause dishes or other objects to fly around the room. Mostly though, it just hated my poor husband Vittorio and concentrated its anger on him.
You then went and spoke to Vittorio, who you went into. He's in a padded, like a padded, in a locked room, not padded, but in a locked room in a little rocking chair, gripping a Bible. And when you asked him if he was okay and if you could talk to him, he just went batshit crazy, opened up the Bible and started reading to you. And he was saying,
by his own weapon is the devil worsted, by his own weapon is the devil worsted.
And then crawled under a table and started rocking backward and forward. And that's where we left you.
Is that
last year? I can't remember if anything else happened last week.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
I think you're right. No,
I don't think so.
So, where are we now then? So, presumably this is like the end of day two of investigations now. So at some point, I imagine you're going to meet back up at your office. And
rest.
Kind of compare notes of what's happened and stuff like that, which I think is what had happened at the end of last session. You were starting to talk in character about what you found and what kind it could have meant. So let's just start from there, I suppose. Go. Action!
Jesus.
So we're back at the office, yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
And there's an awkward silence.
Go on, guys. Go.
So what you guys find out? Anything interesting?
Well, I found out a bit of interesting information. There's a reverend out there somewhere called Michael Thomas. You may have heard of him. He is the executor of Walter Corbett's will, which is very peculiar. But no, there was no records in the hall. I can't say records in American.
Record.
There was no records in the Hall of Records. So they suggested I go to the police station, which I can't wait to do because it's full of dicks. That's all I got.
You only like the private dicks.
I like my dicks in private.
And how about you, Dottie? Do you find anything, love?
Well, I went to the place. I forgot the name for it. And I spoke to Gabriella, and she said just some things about the house and how it was a little haunted and a bit spooky, but it mainly affected her husband. I later spoke to him, and he is not in a good condition and started ranting these things from the Bible. It was crazy.
Right. Well, turns out there's a lot of freaky shit going on down at the house. Called into the Boston Globe. A lot of people died. A lot of people injured. Hmm. It would seem something is strange and afoot.
There's certainly something fishy going on.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
So what do you guys, got any ideas on what we should do next?
Well, I'd like to head to the police station, dig around. Do we have any further information on Mr. Corbett himself?
So the other thing that you were going to do, from what I remember, I just remembered actually, was that Pisswinkle was going to go to the library to see if he could dig anything up after Dorothy was just like, basically, she went there and then realised that she didn't actually know how to read.
The sound English teacher.
So he came home. So there's that still. There's still possibly something that you could dig up there. There's still the house to investigate. And there's still possibly a fourth member of your team that you can get involved with.
We need to go and speak to guys, I think someone of you is going to have to go and speak to Johnny Dickfingers, see if we can pump him for some information.
Ah, Johnny Dickfingers. I remember him well. is he still running the
last resort?
Last,
I believe so.
The last resort. Still there.
The last time.
See, what we got here is failure to communicate.
What we got here.
Thank you.
That is you.
Yeah. Well, what happened?
Yeah. What we've got here is a failure to communicate.
Yeah, we absolutely have.
I'm going to the library. I'm going to go and see what I can dig up there. And one of you two is going to have to go and see Johnny Dickfingers.
I'll go and pay Johnny Dickfingers a visit before I head over to the police station.
Maybe both of you can go and see him if there's nowhere else to go and dig up.
We could do that.
Well, you know, sounds good. Between the three of you, who do you think has the best rapport with Johnny Dickfingers?
So Johnny Dickfingers was Dick Casey's mob informant.
Yeah.
I think we get on, but maybe we don't get on too well. We're not friends.
I know about Dick Casey. You know what I mean? I probably know Pissy as well.
I wonder if he knows Dot. Old Dotty.
Good old Dot.
Possibly.
English teacher.
Possibly not. So, I mean, like, you could perhaps... I mean, it's really up to you. Like I said, you know, imagine it's less with the D&D. You know, in D&D, you don't want to split the party, but in this is real life. You've got no reason to be scared, so why wouldn't you go off on your own and do things? So it's really up to you. Potentially, Dorothy and Pisswinkle could go to the library together. And you could go and see Johnny on your own.
Yeah, to be fair, if I'm your informant, I'm probably not going to appreciate it if you come with more than one person.
Yeah.
To be fair,
like stay outside.
Maybe Dorothy goes for a nap. She's good at doing that.
Who knows?
Well, why don't you? Where can you go? Why don't you? Do you think you would get any? Do you think you would get any information out of the police station? Maybe you could inquire for an address of.
She could always go and investigate the house.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to go do the house?
You would do the house, don't you?
Yeah.
I could make.
I mean, you go
start.
First.
Maybe you should go out what's at the ass.
At the what?
At the ass.
The ass.
With an A.
What if perhaps I mean, do you guys, but, you know, perhaps Dorothy wants to go to the house and you guys are like, not yet, Dorothy. Not, you know, we have to do our investigations first. And then you're like, I tell you what, there's this guy that owes me a favor, a bit of a brute. Perhaps he can tag along. You couldn't tell that was me talking and not Sean then, could you?
I was thinking, how the fuck is he doing that without moving his lips?
This guy's just walked into our office. Who's this guy?
Hi.
It was Richard Casey, Dick's brother.
So someone, I think someone needs to go and dig up some information about this Reverend Michael Thomas.
Again, I kind of feel...
The ex-Arsenal footballer.
Yeah, so that's coming from the police station. I think it's perfectly reasonable for Dorothy and Pissminkle to go to the library together. You know, two heads are better than one when you're doing research and you're doing...
There might be a ghost.
Yeah, because we can roll twice. All right, we're going to the library. Yes. Dick, you go and speak to Johnny Dickfingers and report back when we're
Sounds
done.
Sounds like a plan.
Right, so we're off on a little journey.
Okay. Let's just do Dick Casey first, and as he gets to the last result, just so we can get Johnny involved. You describe to us then, Johnny, what does your bar, this is America, it's not a pub, what does your bar look like?
Well, basically, it looks like a fucking rundown old building. It's got boarded up windows. It's got like a gate on the front. You know what I mean? It's like got a double gated door thing. It's got the last result on a sign above it. That's about it, really. You go in and it's a pretty standard affair for a shitty place like that. You've got a bar that's got like bars on it, like a bank bar sort of thing to keep the punters the other side. Yeah, it's a pretty rough place.
Okay.
I don't know what you want.
That's good enough.
What do you want from me?
but at this time during the day, I'll probably be inside just polishing some bottles.
With his dick fingers.
With my dick fingers.
Yeah.
So
polishing my bottle with my dick finger.
Originally, the name you chose was Johnny Three Hands, was it?
I'm having to rewrite some stuff because I wrote some stuff.
Is it just a case of these guys call you dick fingers because you're Dick's informant and you've got your fingers in Dick?
No, it's more that I've got my fingers in so many different pies, and it's not that I like put my dick in pies, but if we're using pies, it's a euphemism as well. But it's like, yeah, dick fingers, they're all over the place. It's like,
that old dick pie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically. Right.
So, Dick Casey walks in.
As I walked into the, I've already forgotten the name of the fucking pub. What's it called?
The Last Resort.
Oh, shit. Can we change it to words I can say?
Last.
What words the last, can you say?
Last.
As I walked into the doors of the bar, there he was, stood behind the bar, Johnny Dickfingers McJames. Over the years, this guy had given me more information than Google. I've always said they call him Dickfingers because he had his fingers in a lot of privates. I couldn't complain. 6 years ago, he helped me solve the murder of Tony Leone. He died when some gangster stood on his fingers. I know what you're thinking. How does someone die by having their fingers trod upon? Well, he was hanging from a window ledge at the time. I heard that Mr. Nutt may have had some ties with the mob, so I thought Johnny might be up having to help me on the case. Hey, Dick Fingers.
Well. Fucking hell, it's Dick Casey. What the hell are you doing here? Last time I see you, you were treading on some guy's fingers.
Well, you know, it's been a while. I thought I'd pay my friend a visit. What's going down on the streets, Dick Fingers?
Oh, nothing too bad, mate. I mean, things are pretty quiet at the moment. Why? What are you after?
Well, we're working on a case at the minute, and I was wondering if you could help. You know a lot of people in a lot of places. Right. Have you ever heard of the old Corbett's residence on 243 South Street?
Oh, the Corbett's, well, yeah. I mean, there's a little tale that I hear now and then. It's probably not a good place to go.
Well, have you heard anything in particular?
I don't really pay attention to that sort of crap.
What have you heard?
Well, I've heard that people who go there go missing, or they go mad.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to move my hand out.
But that's not really information, is it? So what are you really for?
Well, we could use...
I mean, that's just stories. Do you want a drink?
Oh, yeah, I'll have my usual.
I'll get him out of cucumber water and...
I'll have a fuzzy navel and the girliest drink on the menu. Two fuzzy navels coming up.
Yeah. Get him a flirtini. Yeah, cool.
Well, we was approached by a guy called Mr. Nutt, and I was wondering if you'd heard of him before. He owned a property. On the said street that I said a moment ago. People have been going in, dying, going crazy, all sorts of crazy things.
I heard this guy, Luke.
When we talked earlier on, throughout the day today, we said
sort of digging for information
perhaps,
I know James hasn't got.
I'm happy for you to improv what you want. Maybe Mr. Knott has got mob ties, I don't know. Make it up.
Is he a rich man?
Yeah, so he's a landowner, so a landlord, so perhaps he does work for the mob, perhaps he buys up properties to whatever it's what's it called when you wash money, whatever the fuck it's called. Laundry. As a launder money and stuff like that. Perhaps you said you've heard of the venue, so perhaps, it's in the past has been used, people for nefarious drug meets and things like that,
Well, Dick, I don't really know too much about him. I mean, I know he's got his fingers in a few pies himself, property and stuff like that. I've heard some crazy stories, but nothing, any more crazy than the old house, so...
Have you ever heard of a Reverend Michael Thomas, or have you ever been to the Church of Contemplation?
Church,
I believe it's around here somewhere.
Yeah, I'll go there. Pay penance. I put one in for me old ma, but
Well, we could use someone who's who knows at least one of the places I'm listing.
I know a few things about that Reverend and all, so don't
excellent.
Worry.
Excellent. Well, you know where my office is. Why don't you come and swing by later on this evening? I'll be there after I leave.
Yeah, all right, mate. I'll finish polishing my bottle and I'll be over.
Okay, treat yourself good, Dick Fingers.
I will. See you later, Dick.
As I left, he rolled his eyes at me, so I picked them up and I rolled them back.
Yeah. Lovely bit of role play. And if this was D&D, I'd give you inspiration. But
that was hard because I was like, I'm trying to get answers out of like James has come in today with no knowledge of anything of what's going on.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to ask.
Pretty much the same as real life for me, so that's all right.
I just kind of hoping that you would get him involved in the old plot. That was all.
He did come by the office, so it's all good.
Okay,
James, we had an opportunity to just go on a wild tangent.
You did.
There were several aliens that came down. Did you see them?
This game,
I should have, sorry.
All about storytelling in this game. Dice are secondary, and it's all about the creating scenes and moments that you guys to push the plot forward until eventually
we
get to the dungeon in inverted commas where I get to kill you all. And, the rest of it is all just shits and giggles. So well done. Loved it.
Okay. It's all right.
So Twitch chat are saying what Sycon sent and Lecky Macon in there are saying that the accents are brilliant. I don't know if that's... Okay, so let's cut there before you go, because you've had your moment to shine, before you go to the police station then. Let's cut scenes to Pisswinkle and Dotty arriving at the... back at the library... And I imagine Dottie's probably I'm telling you, I was here yesterday and didn't find anything.
All right, Dottie, don't worry about it. Let's go and have a chat. See what other shit we can find while we're here.
Okay.
You never know what you might find when you're flicking through some books.
Why did that sound weird?
I know. It's 30 magazines.
So, as I explained before, it's a library. You go in. Let's think of it, actually. I'm thinking of, have you ever seen...
Ghostbusters.
Early mid-90s film. No. Early mid-90s film. Have you seen The Pagemaster with Macaulay Culkin?
No. I know of it, but I've not seen it.
Yeah, wait, I might have. Is that the fantasy one where he goes into
the stories? Like half the film is animated. Yeah,
That's probably his finest work.
From what I remember, I've not seen it since I was a kid, but from what I remember, I loved it as a kid. So in that film, in the library, you walk in, it's this massive, there's books everywhere, there's an upper level, we were on a balcony, Tresemme, whatever you want to call it, and like then the desk is in the middle of the room, and it's round and stuff like that. So it's all wood panelling, marble floor, and literally there's just walls 20 feet high, which is just files and files of books.
In Seven, when he goes to do the research in Seven.
Oh, don't even remind me of that film, I won't be able to sleep.
I know that one.
You know what?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box? You know what? Hello, Pete. Daz Bray's in the chat.
Hey.
You know what? I've got a... Considering the fact that I used to consider myself a bit of a film buff and studied film production, all that kind of crap, I have never seen Seven.
It
is proper horrendous.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like I've got to the point in life now where if I've gone 30 years without watching it, like...
No, do yourself a favour.
And just avoid it.
No, watch it.
I talk to you guys about it all the time. I don't know if I've ever talked about it on stream or not. One of my absolute favourite podcasts, of which my three favourite podcasts, the Glass Cannon podcast. You know, they've been going for years. They're massive. They've got a partnership with Paizo. They play Pathfinder and Starfinder. They're huge. They make like 70 grand a month from their podcast as a company, plus merchandising and all the rest of it. And it's a running joke for the past 5 years since they like one of the first episodes that the GM... Troy Lavalley has never seen Jurassic Park, and they bring it up constantly all the way through it.
It's going to be brought up every fucking week. Yeah.
I don't figure they're the same. I mean, Seven and Jurassic Park is huge. No.
Seven's huge.
Yeah,
I've never watched Harry Potter.
Nah. Anyway, so you're in the library.
Yeah.
And then this juttery old man is like, hello, dear. Back again. Didn't find what you were looking for yesterday?
No, I didn't. So this time I've brought a friend to help me. So we might find something today.
Perhaps. What is it that you're looking for?
We will find out about the Corbett House.
The Corbett House? Is this a fiction, non-fiction? Historical events?
Are you taking the piss? Either that or Chatworth contemplation. Do you know anything about that?
not really. There's thousands of books here. I haven't read them all, and I highly recommend H.P. Lovecraft. So if you like your horror, or perhaps there's this new book that I've got in recently, straight from Europe. Fantastic. If you like your fantasy, Tolkien. I think his name is. Check him out.
Not really my bag, mate.
Are you from the university? What did you study? We've got, all the university books, Science 101 and Psychology 203 and all of them books.
I love the way he's down like this weird little salesman. Like, what do you see? What do you get, huh? I got some nice watches. You want some watches?
Well, if there's anything I can do to help you, then you just give us a whistle. Except don't do that. It's a library. You got to be quiet. Yeah. Okay, so you head off to like wherever newspaper clippings or like history, I don't know where the fuck it is. And what you need to do is for your roll per half day. Right. What I'm going to do is, because there's two of you looking, there is a kind of rule in the game. It's very, very similar to D&D's advantage system. Where you get to basically roll twice. So basically it's like D&D advantage where you roll twice and take the better result, but basically you get to roll the tens dice twice and take the lower. So you roll your so whoever's got the highest library use skill, which I think is Pisswinkle, if you roll your d100 and let me know what you've got.
What one do you want me to roll?
A D100, your two D100s, or your two D10s. Yep, roll that. What did you get?
10.
Oh, you're not going to get much better than that with the second one, but you can roll it again and see if you can get a 0.
I'll roll that again. 0, 0.
Okay, now roll your units dice, just your normal D10.
1.
So you have got 0, 1. You've got a 1. That's the best roll in the game, yeah. The lower the better, so a 1 is the absolute best, so well done.
Well,
okay. So,
that'll be good.
Yeah, jolly, jolly good, sir. Jolly good. So, I'm going to give you 2 pieces of information because, actually, you know what? Yeah, I am. I'm going to give you 2 pieces of information for that rather than just the 1. So, the first I'm going to give you is this. So, if you look at handout 3.
In 1835, a prosperous merchant builds the house, but immediately falls ill and sells it to Mr. Walter Corbett, Esquire.
Then look at handout number 4.
In 1852, Walter Q. Corbett is sued by neighbours who petition to force him to leave the area in consequence of his serious habits and an unauspicious demeanour.
I'm actually going to give you... thinking about it, all you needed was a success, which would have been under the first one. You've got an extreme success, and on top of that, it's like a critical success. It's a 1. So I'm going to give you all the information. Fuck it, let's just push this storyline forward. So then you can check out handout number 5.
Evidently, Corbett wins the lawsuit. His obituary in 1866 states that he has lived by.
He still lived in the same place.
His obituary in 1866 states that he still lived in the same place. It also states that the second lawsuit was being waged to prevent Corbett from being buried in his basement, as provided by his will.
Evil zombie.
Evils.
And then handout number 6.
No outcome to the second lawsuit is recorded. So Corbett is buried in his basement. Is that right?
There we go. So essentially, each piece of information there should have taken you half a day to find. But because there's 2 of you, and because you rolled, like I said, the absolute best roll in the game, you're like, well, I've got this. And then you're like, hey, oh, you're Essex, aren't you? So, Dotty, here, tell you what, look, I've just found this. Go over there, get me that book there. And you're like proper telling them where to look and where to go. And the 2 of you are working like a team. So as the 2 of you have just found this information, what do the 2 of you, Dotty and Pisswinkle, think about this information?
Well,
what do you reckon, Dottie? It's a little bit weird, isn't it? Someone burying themselves in the basement of an house. Why would you bury yourself in a basement? Why wouldn't you bury yourself in a, I don't know, graveyard or somewhere normal like that?
Well, it might explain why it's haunted.
Good point. Maybe we should get back to the office.
Thanks,
Billy. She's really smart. Well, there we go then. I guess we should document that somewhere. Important.
Anyone got any other ideas, Dottie? What do you reckon?
A lot to take in. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's go see what Dick and Johnny Dick thinks.
Is that all you've got?
Naron, we need to send you to one because there's clearly like a weird chemistry in your characters.
Very weird.
Every time we split the party, you two are going together. That's great.
Amazing.
Pisswinkles, I think, fucked her off at some point.
Yeah. I mean, Dottie's clearly a little bit scared by Pisswinkle.
Right. Okay, cool. Moving forward. So you guys are done in the library. Let's go to the old police station then. You entered the police station. It's a police station.
Yes.
What does the police station look like?
As I approach the police station, I recognize the place as the local police station. I'd been in and out of here more times than freestyling ad lib monologue.
The fridge.
More times than the fridge that day.
So, it's a police station in 1920s Boston. Of course, everybody out there knows what a police station in 1920s Boston looks like. I don't need to paint a word picture for your podcast listeners. If you don't know what a police station in 1920s Boston looks like, then you need to get out more.
To Boston in the 1920s.
Boston.
Not like a police station in Seven that's set in the 90s or the early 2000s.
Yeah. It's kind of got that weird 1920s.
It does.
Yeah, I don't know. You walk in and like there's a desk and there's loads of like Bobby police officer, like street cops around, and they've got people handcuffed sat there waiting to process, and there's people going up to the queue. You go upstairs and stuff like that to different departments. But basically, you know, as an ex-police officer and as a private investigator, that gaining access to these records is going to prove difficult. Okay? So, you're going to need to do something. First of all, I need to make me, the keeper. The keeper!
Keeper.
Needs to make a roll. Hear that shake down the mic. What is your law skill, please, Dick Casey?
My law skill is a whopping 70.
Oh. Tasty, that's good. Higher the better. So, right. I need to roll a law skill for you to establish whether or not you have a contact within the police station. Ooh, you know somebody. Let's have a look here. You know an officer called, or a detective known, You know somebody called Kim Dubrun, who is a clerk in the court offices, which is like upstairs, you know, like all the criminals are downstairs. But you, so you know, you can go up there. You don't need to sign at the front. You can go up to that department, to the court offices, and speak to Kim Dubrun.
Okie doke. I'll do just that. As I walked up the stairs into the top floor of the police station, I was looking for my old pal, Dick Kim. They're all dicks. Kim Dubrun. As I ran my eyes over the office like I ran them over the newspaper that morning. There he or she was over in the corner. I headed over there to say hello. Kim, how you doing? So Kim, lady buddy.
is Kim a female or a male? Because it can be about either.
Yeah, it can be both.
It's hard to tell from behind. I tapped them on the shoulder and they turned around.
Ah, Dick, my old buddy.
I was still none the wiser. She must have been smoking heavy the night before. Her voice was very deep that day.
You want to be careful the captain don't see your face around here, Kim? No, I'm Kim. You're Dick.
Well, there's no need for that.
You know what he said next time. Next time you stick your nose in a case that you doesn't belong, he is going to do you for contempt of the law.
But yeah, well, maybe he doesn't even know I'm here.
Otherwise, it's good to see you, old buddy. How you doing? And he
gives
you
a big old squeeze. I'm good. I knew Kim was strong. He had shoulders so broad they had their own zip code. So how have things been, Kim?
Well, you know, we're just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Crimes seems to be on the up and up these days. Now the war is over, all these people coming home, all these veterans, they don't know what to do with themselves.
Tell me about it. The cases are quite loose at the minute. There's not much work coming in. I need a case like a trophy needs, well, a case. Now tell me, Kim, I'm working on a case at the minute. I need some information on one Reverend Michael Thomas. How can you help me, pal?
Well, I mean, the name doesn't sound all too familiar, but let's have a look here. Hold on, I'm just going to go. He's like, hey, Nige, I'm just going on my break. He's like, oh, in the back somewhere. Um, Okay. Right. Let's have a look. So my roll was successful, which means that you don't need to make any other any further rolls. Had my roll been a failure on your behalf, then Kim would have been unscrupulous and would demand a bribe before reneging on the deal and claiming not to know the investigators. But it was a success, so you have a good rapport with this guy. So let's have a look. So he takes you through to kind of like a records room and stuff like that, and there's loads of files, like metal, or wood in those days, I suppose, wooden file fax systems. And it's like, right, so Church of Contemplation, you see? Okay, let's have a look.
Well, I didn't, but damn, did that's you not? A good skill
what,
you have.
What did you say?
I elect for Reverend Michael Thomas.
Reverend Michael Thomas. Okay.
That's where he...
And which church was Reverend Michael Thomas part of?
Well, you're not going to believe this, Kim, but it was the Chapel of Contemplation and Church of Our Lord, Granter of Secrets.
Okay, secrets. Let's have a look at S for secrets. He kind of goes around, he pulls it out. It's like, right, okay. Here. Aha, yes, here. Handout number 8. This seems to be the one you're looking for, my good old buddy. Why don't you have a peruse of this and tell the listeners what it is you read?
As he handed me handout number 8, I decided to read it aloud. It looked like this file concerns a secret raid on the Chapel of Contemplation. The police raid was occasioned by affidavits swearing that members of the church were responsible for the disappearances of neighborhood children. During the raid, 3 policemen and 17 cult members were killed by gunplay or fire. Autopsy reports are singularly lacking detail and uninformative, as though the coroner had not actually performed examinations. Though 54 members of the church were arrested, all but 8 were released. The records hint of illegal intervention in the proceedings by an important local official, offering stories of the battle, the biggest criminal action in the city's history, that never appeared in print. Pastor Michael Thomas was arrested and sentenced to 40 years in prison on 5 counts of second-degree murder. He escaped from prison in 1917 and fled the state.
Bam, bam, bam.
Bam, bam, bam.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
And I sort of need to read that again.
In your journal, you feel free to go into your journal and you'll be able to find it and read it.
Lovely.
So, do we want to now cut forward to later in the evening when you all meet up, Johnny as well, and discuss the case and what your next course of action will be?
Yep.
Hi, everyone. How are we doing?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Sorry, we've never met. I'm Johnny Dickfingers. You all right?
Yeah, fine.
Wash your hands.
Dorothy Bridge.
Dorothy Bridge. What, the school teacher, Dorothy Bridge?
Yes, that famous English teacher.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, brilliant. Oh, yeah, we've met before. Oh, Pisswinkle, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'll set up my tab next time I come in, mate. Yeah, don't worry, I'm a bit flushed. I'm not very, I'm a bit skinned at the moment, mate.
I suppose that's why you're here with us lot.
Exactly. They're trying to sort a case out. Next time I get some spare cash, I'll drop in and sort out my whiskey bill.
Well, Dick, I hope you you put that straight through onto my account, eh?
Don't worry about that. What's that, mate?
We are getting paid for this, Dick, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh, fucking hopes,
yeah, I believe it's a $25 split four ways.
Four ways. Fucking hell, that's not even a Happy Meal, mate.
What's a Happy Meal?
It's have you not heard of it? There's this little Mac shop. Can't remember what they're called.
I'll have to give them a try.
I give you a little spinning top with your, anyway.
Oh, is it right next to that Royal Beef place?
Yeah, that's the band going there. This gun.
So it looks like, the Chapel of Contemplation, where Taking children from the neighbourhood.
Who was it who wanted to be buried? Was it Corbett? He wanted to be buried underneath the house, didn't he?
He owned the house, yeah.
And he wanted to be buried underneath it. And he got buried underneath it.
That's right. Yeah, like I said, if you check your...
Yeah, I'm looking through the handouts at the moment.
Handouts, all the information you need is in there.
And I also believe that that was in his will. Now, the executor of the will...
Was
Michael Thomas, who escaped from prison in 1917 and has not been seen since.
Hmm. Well,
he has been responsible for making neighborhood children disappear.
Dirty bastard.
Yeah, that's not news, is it, really?
I wonder if we can track down
Michael Thomas.
Maybe the local pontiff can tell us.
So the Church of Contemplation, you know, it's like
gone, isn't it?
It's a smaller, yeah. So it's not like you can just go to your local church. Maybe you could go to your local church and see if they know anything of it. That's a good idea. Yeah, but again, you've checked up enough records now to find out. You know, you could go to the Church of Contemplation.
I didn't think it was there anymore.
Who knows?
Wow.
If I investigate, it says in handout number 7. It closed in 1912.
The Reverend Michael Thomas is the executor of Corbett's will.
So yeah.
They were in something together.
Mm. Looks like they were in cahoots, you might say.
Yeah. Looks like. So we can probably. Yeah.
I don't know about going to the house, maybe.
Seems like you've got two places left to investigate from your links.
The house and the chapel, isn't it?
Exactly that. Mm. Pisswinkle, you'd make a good
who
detective.
Who wants to go to the house and who wants to go to the Church of Contemplation? Or the Chapel of Contemplation, as I have in my book.
Well, I think you and Dorothy should head to...
Absolutely, because we've got such a fucking crazy bottom.
We know exactly what we're doing.
We know what we're doing.
I don't know. I'm happy to follow up with it. I think it would make sense if I follow up with the chapel.
You go to the church.
So I'm going to head there.
Let's go to the house.
We'll go,
Where am I going? Go
Dick Fingers, it's up to you.
Dick Fingers, you're with me. Well, it's up to you. You three can go and I'll... I'll meet you at the house if you want. If you three want to go,
should we go to the house?
Why not?
I've got a feeling that you want more people at the house just in case
we might end up kicking off.
Yeah,
we could get
like extra money.
I've got a feeling Dorothy don't feel safe with me.
I think Dorothy doesn't know where she's going. I'm a bit scared of everyone. Like.
All right, we'll see you down there, Dick.
So you're going to go this evening? You're going to go in the evening or are you going to wait till morning?
I think we have to go in the evening.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's go in the evening.
What time of evening are we looking at?
So throughout this day, Dotty and Pisswinkle have been to the library. For half a day. You agreed to meet up all back in the office in the evening. So it's whatever time you want it to be, really. You know, whatever you want it, it's you tell me.
We've just had dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's early evening.
Yeah, sunset's, like, you know, happening.
Yeah.
Dorothy's going to go, what's the sunset?
We've just had our evening.
She's done with that.
Bottle of wine. And we're off.
She's got homework to mark and then she's ready.
Yeah.
Lesson planning, job done.
She's got a plan, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll figure out her lesson objectives and then she's ready to go fight
she's
crime.
Right.
It's funny.
She's ready to teach those bad guys a lesson.
Literally.
Okay.
Right. Let's do it.
So you're going to go this evening. So two of you, so let's have a look.
1 minute. Should we tool up if we're going? Is this a tool up thing?
Absolutely. If you want to take supplies with you, you can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What can we take?
Okay, so basically, I don't know.
Well, do you want to come to my bar? Because I've got loads of weapons.
I don't.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that, Dick Fingers.
I don't know what the official Cthulhu rules are, because we've only got the quick start rules. It doesn't tell you much about equipment in there, but what it says, and I got this from How We Roll podcast, who are a really famous Call of Cthulhu, predominantly Call of Cthulhu podcast, but they do touch in D&D as well. So there, I've been listening to, in preparation for this, some of their first stuff, and their first three episodes is all this module. So once we're finished, check it out and see how it compares. And how they did it is basically, look, it's reasonable to expect, unlike D&D where you've got a massive backpack with all of your lively possessions all at one time, you're not going to be walking around the streets of Boston with that. So it's reasonable that you can have anything that you would expect your character to have. And so, if you've got stuff at home, you can take it. I think it's reasonable that Dick Casey would probably have a small pistol because he's an ex-police officer and stuff. But it's not reasonable that Dorothy would, said to James, Johnny Dickfingers, earlier on, that it's reasonable because he's a bit of a mobster that he may have some kind of rifle in his bar, possibly a baseball bat and things like that. But,
brass knuckles.
Yeah, things like that. It's reasonable that you'd have that stuff, but you wouldn't be walking the streets with it. So whilst I say he's got one at his bar, you'd need to go pick it up. You tell me what kind of equipment you've got. And you can also go shopping. How shopping works, and I only know this again from How We Roll podcast, is on your character sheet, one of the pages will tell you how much your cash flow is. So let's open one up. And let's have a look. So I've got a test one here that I...
I've got like $2. I can't even get it.
So that's like your daily cash spend. So
where does it say?
So on the
Possessions
tab on your character.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got your spending level is $2. So that's kind of what you can spend per day. And as long as you spend less than that, that's okay. We don't need to count it because then, so prices in 1920 are like... fuck knows what they are. I did find a small thing online earlier on.
50 cents.
This is it. I had a look earlier on at some guide, and like basically, a room in a hotel would be like 50 cents. So, depending what you, I think I had a look at, and like a handgun, if you've got a license and stuff to buy one, was only like $4. So,
but if you've only got $2, can only buy half a handgun. Okay.
Well, we could go off on a handgun and like do like a split week sort of thing with
it. Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to just walk into a shop and buy a handgun over the counter. However, maybe
can I go home and get my shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Dickfingers, have you got any dodgy black market?
Dick Casey,
contacts.
Yeah, of course I've got contacts, but what do you want? I've got stuff at the bar as well. I mean, I've got old Betty my shotgun.
Oh, well, a Tommy gun.
I don't got a Tommy gun. I'm sorry, but I've got
You want one of those little floppy things that they used to hit people with?
Blackjack.
Haven't got a blackjack.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no. I don't.
Yeah, anyway, so you tell me what equipment you want. And again, bearing in mind, we have to run on the assumption that your characters do not know of, like, supernatural stuff. Like, it doesn't exist. It'd be like us, we don't know this. If we were going to go and to investigate an old house, we wouldn't think, I'm just going to go get my shotgun, because, like, it's real life, So...
I want to go to my desk drawer.
People die there and stuff.
Yeah.
Can I say, something done like a steak knife or something. But Dorothy,
I'm gonna go to my drawer, pull the drawer.
No, you don't have a knife in your kitchen.
And I've got one of those tiny little like lady pistols that they used to have for like the femme fatale.
Like a little Beretta sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna give that to Dorothy.
Okay.
Mate, you know how to use this? In emergencies only.
Thanks.
That's fine. Sorry. Maybe if you're going in the evening, you might want flashlights, things like that. But I mean, you're not going to want, again, like you're just going to have a look around, maybe you might think there might be some some hobos in there, but you're not going to be thinking, I need to tool up like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Ooh. Bless you.
Thank you.
I would like a scroll of Damocles with the spells of Theseus and...
You could do with Thunderwave. Yeah, okay.
Maybe Dick Fingers just, you know, under like a blanket in the trunk of his car, maybe he does keep a gun, you know? That's
a gun.
Acceptable.
A gun. I've got my gun.
I would like a crowbar.
Yep. So
well, I've got one in the back.
I'm happy for you to have a crowbar. Yeah,
yep,
absolutely.
I've got a crowbar. That's mine. Yeah. Job done.
Dorothy's got the gun. Yep. What's Dick?
I have got a handgun, a notepad and pen, some smokes, a lighter.
Oh, can I borrow it?
I thought he was going to say some smoked salmon then.
Smoked salmon.
Don't go anywhere without my trusty smoked salmon.
Smoked salmon. And I've got some cuffs.
No, of course.
What's some what?
Cuffs.
Some crafts, a few small pedigree dogs.
If Lisa was here, she'd have more than cuffs. Jesus. Oh, my word.
I still feel so bad that she's not here. I mean, obviously, if she was here, we'd be playing D&D, but, like...
Of course, yeah.
We'd do this properly, so, like, you
don't
know...
Don't take that person, Emily. It's been great having you.
Oh, it's fine. Honestly, it's fine.
And 100%, we're going to have you 100%. Back as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Providing that, you know, you don't, like, dump Sean at some point. And then maybe we'll get rid of Sean and kick you.
Anyway.
Shut up.
So are we going to go and check our hands out then?
Cool. So what we're doing
go on.
We'll go to the Church of Contemplation first. So who's going there?
Me.
So Dick Casey and Dick Fingers.
We're gonna keep this brief. Just run in, ask about it, and then run away.
Okay. So Dick Casey is going to the Church of Contemplation all on his own, and everybody else is going to the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not the mansion.
I'm going to the actual church itself. I'm thinking I'm going to a local church to ask about the Chapel of Contemplation.
Oh, okay.
But I like your idea better. Let's go to the rundown, closed church.
Yeah, so it's not...
But I would... I don't know if I want someone with me now.
I thought you and Dick Fingers were going together because you two know each other, and then the other two were going...
You know I'm nervous with strangers. Don't...
Because we've got to remember... Yeah. Pisswinkle's background, of course, is that he's this, you know, people refer to him as a washed up journalist, but he's not. He knows that the truth is out there and nobody believed him.
I'm so Mulder.
He's been looking, you know, he's used to going to these dodgy places and investigating on his own. You know, that's what he's always, that's why he got disgraced and became a washed up journalist, you know, because no one believed these stories he was writing. But, you know, he's used to this kind of shit.
He's like David Icke.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
people.
So it's Dick.
Yeah, come.
So Casey,
come with us.
Go on, then.
Dick Casey and Dick Fingers to the
church. Dick Fingers to the church with Dick Casey.
Alrighty then. So let's go.
I'll take him up the Chapel of Contemplation.
Yeah, poor old Dottie's been left with crazy fucking Fingers.
God, someone say that.
Okay, so the Chapel of Contemplation. It's evening. I don't know what time it gets dark over in Boston. I fucking know.
It's
8 o'clock. Let's say the sun is, let's say it's dusky, so there's still light in the air, but it is raining, so it's dark because rain is very spooky, isn't it? And it's all cloudy and it's the pitter patter pitter of the rain.
Yeah.
What is left of the old church stands at the end of a crooked, dingy street. Dingy street. The ruins.
Raining that bad.
I'm trying to set a scene, man.
All I can see is a rubber boat at the end of a road.
Cross on it.
I'll start again. You can cut all that out, Sean. What is left of the old church stands at the end of a crooked, dingy street. The ruins are so weathered and overgrown with greenery that the grey stone rubble seems more like natural stone than former walls and foundation. you pass a slumping wall bearing white painted symbols, apparently freshly swabbed. Three Ys arranged in a triangle so that the top element of each Y touch the other two Ys. In the center, so created, is painted a staring eye, which looks a little something like this.
But why an eye? Eye?
You'll see.
I did a little drawing of it before it popped up, and I've not
it's a little
got
bit David Icke.
Yeah. That looks like or something.
Okay.
Okay.
Where was that, sorry?
That is... You like pass a slumping wall bearing white painted symbols, a wall nearby as you go up to the fence.
It's fresh,
you start
I take
to
it.
Begin to feel in your forehead like a little tingle in your forehead, kind of like headaches, but not quite. You know, like how after a long day at work, you kind of feel like you know that. You're probably, by the time you get home, in an hour or two's time, you're going to be sat in the front of telly and you're going to have that stress migraine. Like, you feel like just the beginnings of that coming on.
Oh, man, this place gives me a headache, man. Fuck this. Let's go to the air.
You'll give me a headache.
Oh, easy, tiger.
Are you going to go up? So it's a church, you know. Think of it like, you know, one of those... churches in all of the old horror movies when you know you have to go through a gate and it's you walk up a hill slightly through the gravel path and there's just grass everywhere and it's kind of like this old wooden, you know, tall chapel and it's like gravestones and stuff dotted around the chapel.
Can I peruse the just gravestones?
You certainly can. They're gravestones, various American names on them. Bob,
like
Hope.
Rocket Lancer and things like that.
Chad.
Chad Everett.
Yes, the door is kind of like barred shut. Like at some point someone's come along and hammered it, you know, with nails shut with a plank across it. You know, you walk around. You can walk the whole way around the church. It's
any ways in that are like could we get through the door?
I mean if you go around it there is like the kind of like the there's like an always like a door around the side where the priest would come in and out because they usually quite often would have their own little door
they go in. They're always going around the back, don't they?
There's like a small padlock on it, but it's rusted over the years. It's been empty for a few years. There's still some old 1920s style police tape kind of flapping away, which is just all faded and stuff. I don't know if they even used that back then, but we're going to say they did. You could probably jimmy it open with... you could probably just kick it down, if you were to be honest.
I kick the door.
You kick the door down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you explain to me... There's no map. No map for this. You explain to me what's your mental kind of image of this place as you walk through. I'll explain to you that like mostly you find... mostly blocks of granite, old half-burned timbers. I think there was a fire here, from what I remember reading earlier on. Like loads of ancient rubbish going away. Like all of the pews are, you know, some of them are all dodged, like pushed over or at funny angles and stuff like that. And like the stands that the priest would stand on and stuff is all like pushed over and it's charred and burnt and stuff like that. But you explain to me how this place kind of looks as you walk around and what is it that you're doing?
Definitely looks like there's been a bit of a ruckus. I mean, 54 people were killed in here because of when the police raided it. So I can't see it being touched since then.
Mm. No.
So I would imagine...
And there's still, chalk outlines on the floor where they've drawn around bodies.
Yeah.
And there's still, like, stained blood stains and things like that.
Yeah.
That must have been one bad sermon. Ka-ching.
Jesus Sorry. Christ, would you look at this place?
Yeah, it's seen better days, isn't it?
I'm gonna have a look for any doors that don't lead outside again but lead to other rooms within. the church.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like a bit like rooms sort of at the back, you know, like for that the priest and that would use to
yeah store I'd stuff like in. To explore those sort of quarters.
So you notice as well, of course, walking through here, that the ground that you're standing on is covered. As you get up to the back and you go up a step and stuff, it's weak floorboards. Make me a luck roll, please? Dick Casey and Johnny Dick Fingers McGee, or whatever the fuck your name is.
McJames.
Right.
A luck roll. On your character sheet, you've got a luck stat. You need to roll underneath that.
Okay, I've done a failure. 94 versus 65.
I rolled a 7.
Nice.
Oh, I went
so a 7 will be probably close to, if not a critical success for you. Okay. Here is what happens. Find out next week on The Cock Show. Thank you very much for joining us. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on all this crap, like, subscribe, leave us a review, all that bollocks. You shall hear our dulcet tones next week on the D&D show plays Call of Cthulhu.
Bolt thrower here. Excuse me one second. Oh, you bastard. Oi, Scapes, wrap up a bit of that old meat for me, will ya? Do you sometimes find yourself in the midst of battle wondering if a creature is flanked? Wondering if you meet the criteria for sneak attack? Well, look no further. Grab your player's handbook or other D&D books at langdongames.co.uk using the code DICEANDDIE for a whopping 15% off of their D&D range. That's langdongames.co.uk. Happy adventures.
Welcome to Roleplay Retcon Studios, located at the nexus of all alternate universes, including the sexy vampire ones.
Ooh.
At Roleplay Retcon, we remake famously disappointing movies using comedy, hindsight, and tabletop RPGs.
Like Dungeons & Dragons?
Yes, but specifically not Dungeons & Dragons. We take a second pass at guilty pleasures like Batman and Robin or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and even some controversial favorites like Twilight.
But I love those movies.
We do too, and all of the movies we do have something to love. If they didn't, there would be nothing to reimagine. At the end of each series, we compare our vision to the original films, because why the f*** not?
I can't wait to listen to Roleplay Retcon, wherever podcasts are available.
I'm gonna listen to it before you do.